other than that?
Nothing.
Now, we need someone to be the man.
Okay, do I get to chat her up?
Yes, please. Then we can see how Rachel reacts and see how reliant she is on her face.
I'm looking forward to this.
You should be, I'm very good.
Are you ready, Rachel? Rachel?
I think she's asleep.
Like a budgie. Budgie, a fantastic...
Listen. Rachel, Rachel, it's time to do the role play now.
Oh, I fell asleep just like I do at Grandma's house.
Do you want me just to launch in?
Yes. If you could begin your usual chat-up routine, please, Terry.
That was it. That was my opening line. Hello. She's just being rude now.
I'm smiling.
Through a tea towel pit. We might need a bit more. That's it. You're just going to giggle now.
Yes, it usually works.
Marion, how can we get her to talk? Any tips?
The best way is to treat the preliminary conversation like an interview for a job you don't really want. And it's up to your wooer to make the job sound interesting, something you'd like to do on a short-term basis. Let's try again.
Hello.
Hello. How many people are up for this?
What? It says on your application form you worked in fashion.
Shops, yeah, I am interested in fashion. I think I'm good at clothes.
I've just discovered cardigans myself. They're much easier to take off when you're driving.
Men of your age can rock a good cardigan.
What shop do you used to work in?
River Island. They put me on the fitting rooms because I'm good at ignoring people and I'm pretty.
Do you think you'd like to work here on a temporary basis with me for a drink?
Temporary? Well, not permanent.
It's getting a bit clingy now.
Let's take that off now. Have you learnt anything?
I've learnt that tea towels help you fall asleep. And that I know about cardigans.
It's a start.
Oh, and Rachel, we have someone on hand to help you sort out your financial problems as well.
A sugar daddy?
No, a debt counsellor, pet. Final words, Marion?
Talk. You're getting quite good at it. And always ask for a permanent contract.
Terry?
You're lovely. And you know about cardigans.
Alan?
Just be yourself. This is pre-recorded.
You should work hard at your personality and ease off on all the surgery and treatments and that. The best way to get a person to smile at you from across the street is to smile first.
Okay, I'll try. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Rachel, and good luck. Let's give her a round of applause. Our second problem today is one of family tension. A son who's having problems with his dad. Let's bring him out. Alan?
He's proof that youth is wasted on the young. It's Ian.
Hello, everyone. Is this going to take long?
Well, that's a good first impression.
What's your problem, mate? We're here to help you.
Yeah, of course. Sorry, I've got an early start tomorrow and I'm pulling a double shift.
Well, where do you work?
Dixon's. I'm in charge of printers and accessories, though I've got my scanner training next week.
So you're quite new, are you?
Assistant manager. Been there 2 months. That's how good I am.
Friend of yours, Terry? Are we trying to cure your cockiness? Is that it?
No. I just need a quick fix solution. My dad's doing my head in. On and on and on and on he goes. I don't need to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Hear what?
About his life. His brilliant life. He doesn't even get performance-related pay.
I wonder if anyone in the audience has problems with their parents. I love that little noise. That was like, all of us. Have we got anybody in who has a problem with their parents? Hello, love. What's your name?
Hello, my name's David.
Hello, David. And what problem do you have with your parents?
Well, we were all in the car the other day, and my dad knew there was a pub nearby, and it was lunchtime, and we fancied stopping there, but Mum said we couldn't stop there because it wasn't planned, and the sat-nav would get upset.
Does she understand that it's not a real lady?
I'm not sure that she does.
Was it because it wasn't planned? Did you have time restrictions on your day, or does she just not like change?
No, we had strict time restrictions. We were off to a museum in Preston, and then we were going to look at the railway station.
You're right, laugh you, aren't you?
Do your mum and dad bicker a lot?
No, not too much, no. When they think I'm not listening, I do find them surreptitiously giggling.
Oh, that's quite sweet, isn't it? And for their marriage, I think you should leave them alone. That's a brilliant story. Thank you very much. Can we give them a round of applause? Have we got anybody else in who has problems with their parents? Hello, my love. What's your name?
Isla.
Hello, Isla. What a lovely name. Tell me, what problem do you have with your parents?
Well, since I moved away, my mum rings me every day for about an hour.
Can you not reject her?
If she rings my mobile and she don't get an answer, she'll ring my house soon.
I think that's harassment. My mum used to, back in the old days, you know, before mobiles, I know I'm that old, my mum, instead of ringing up when I was at work and saying, oh, I've got something to tell you, give us a ring when you get in, she used to ring and leave about 9 messages and tell us the whole story over the course of the 9 messages, and then get really annoyed every time it got cut off. So every message would start, as I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted. Is your mum nice the rest of the time?
Yeah, she's really nice.
Oh, so you don't want to, like, you know, just change your number and move and that? Because that's an option if she's a bit of a cow. But sounds like she's just a bit needy. Maybe, I've got a suggestion, maybe you could ring her once in a while and then maybe she wouldn't feel the need to ring you all the time. It's not funny, but it's a fact, isn't it? Thank you very much. Give her a round of applause. Have we got anybody else in who's got a problem with the parents? What's your name, pet?
It's Simon.
Hello, Simon. Tell me, what problem do you have with your parents?
Well, I kind of am the last one to find out any information, so it's kind of the opposite to Isla.
Okay.
She never calls me. I always call her. Yeah.
You might need to swap parents. Isla.
She's welcome to her.
So what kind of things... what kind of things have you found out too late about?
Well, there was one time my brother Stuart was living with my sister... and she was out, and my brother forgot his keys and knew there was a key under the mat at the back door. So he climbs over the fence, gets in the back door. In the meantime, neighbours have reported him to the police for breaking in. And then the police arrive, barge in, pin him up against the wall. All of this happened, it was November last year, and I found out about a week ago. So...
Does your whole family hate you? Your brother could have told you, your sister could have told you, or your mother. I think really this is you, not them.
Probably is.
Do you ring her for like an hour at 6 o'clock? Is it a direct
opposite? It's usually when I get off the tube while I'm walking home.
Oh, so you don't spend any quality time talking to her, it's just...
Well,
at least you call. No, that's very true. Call.
And I always say I love you, regardless of who's around.
Oh. The whole audience went, oh, and then one person went, yeah. I hadn't realised we had a 12-year-old boy in. That's a brilliant story. Thank you very much. Can we give a round of applause? Thank you very much, lovely audience. So, Ian, let's hear some more about you, and then you can tell us what the problem is with your dad.
Well, I'm 25, I have no spare time, and I want money. Enough money to buy a flat and a car and a girlfriend.
You don't need money to get a girlfriend.
Shut up. Get a flat and a car, the girls will come down a chimney.
Getting a girlfriend is not linked to owning a property or having a car.
Having a car helps, though, surely. When was the last time you got on a bus with a boyfriend?
Oh, but I can drive.
So I could get a girlfriend who can drive? That's a good plan. I could hang around outside test centres and approach the ones who aren't crying.
Or just stop on a zebra crossing and wave at anyone in a micro.
OK, so what's the problem with your dad?
Oh, he's got everything and he rubs it in my face. He's got money, a great big Skoda Octavia. And he works out. He's always showing off his ab.
Aren't abs always plural?
Maybe he's got one big ab like me.
His girlfriend, Katerina, is foreign. She does everything.
Dishes?
Yes.
Good girl. Hold on, your dad's not called Jeff, is he?
Okay, well, I think it's time we brought him out. Alan?
He's the world's oldest Chippendale. It's Jeff.
You all right, son?
Dad.
Oh, Terry, mate. I didn't know you were on this.
You still driving the tartmobiles?
Yeah, certainly am, yes.
Hello, Jeff. What's a tartmobile?
Oh, limos. Yeah, I can get 8 girls in the back of my van. 12 if they're not eaters.
So you're living an ideal life, according to your son, anyway.
It's not ideal for me. I wish he'd keep his clothes on. There's a poster of my dad all oiled up at my local pub.
Yeah, we use lard, actually. It's much cheaper than the virgin olive oil the real Chippendales use. So we like their tribute act, you see. They were a bit older, of course. We're called the Plastic Hippendales.
I went to see the Chippendales once. It was hilarious for 10 minutes, then just remarkably uncomfortable for the best part of an hour. They came off stage and went into the crowd. The women in the audience just responded like there was a wasp in the room. We kept looking around going, there's one over there!
No idea how embarrassing it is having a dad who takes his clothes off for a living.
What's your problem, son? I'm enjoying my life.
Does your bird come with a house and car?
What, Katerina? Oh, no, with the job. Yeah, she works in the office. Takes our bookings. Lovely girl. Fantastic shorthand.
And younger than me.
Jealousy, then. That's what it boils down to. Is this problem a common one? I don't ever remember feeling jealous of my parents.
This is fairly common in sons of stud muffins.
Do you want to see the inside of my limo, by any chance?
You're not quite my type, although you do smell rather pleasing. But it is common amongst alpha males. What is that? Some sort of musk?
Polish. Been buffing me bonnet.
Quite.
Your dad's girlfriend will get bored of him in a few years. There's nothing to be jealous about.
Sorry. Was the aim of this to make him feel better or me feel worse?
Our aim is always to make the first guest feel better.
No, it's not. Our aim is to solve the problem.
Well, I feel terrible. Does anyone want to see my ab?
Well, we don't want to make it worse for you, Jeff. So we have another guest who'll show you how good life can be. Alan, bring him out.
He has all the time in the world. It's Clive.
Ladies, gentlemen, good evening.
Dad, what are you doing here?
Hello, Grandad.
Hello, boys. I've come to verbally clash your heads together and show you how both of your lives are rubbish compared to mine. Yeah, being 71 rocks, I can still drive, though I do have night vision glasses for driving in the dark. Well, 71, the ladies make the mistake of thinking you're no longer dangerous. I'm never short of female company, even if it's just someone to watch A Touch of Frost with.
Oh.
I take them dancing at the church hall and sometimes to the pictures. And then the upside is, women of my age never harp on if you don't ring them. They just assume you've forgotten. Or died. Because I do sometimes lose the more vain ones to Charlie, because he's going blind and it makes them feel more comfortable.
God bless old age. You're an inspiration, Clive. Tell me, do you still manage to,
just. But for most, that's enough.
Is there anything you'd still like to do, Pet?
Oh, loads of things. I'd like to get my printer working. I'd like to meet Judy Dench. I'd like to have another go at wrestling. They said I had promise.
I can help you with that last one. And Dame Judy. Possibly on the same night.
I can help you with the outfits.
What kind of printer is it, Grandad?
What a lovely ending to the story.
And in return, I can give you the secret to living a long, happy life.
Is it antibiotics?
Counselling.
A pudding every day, fingers crossed.
Just be yourself.
Alan's not going to be happy you said that.
OK, it's time to wrap this up. Final words, Terry?
Ian, mate, look at what the future holds. That's golden.
I agree. What with his energy, your ab and his night vision glasses, you'd be unstoppable. Thanks, men. I hope we've helped.
And if not, I have a series of I hate my male family member leaflets that could help. Jeff, for you, I'd especially recommend Young at Heart, when men should stop wearing jeans.
Noted.
Let's give them a round of applause. That's it for another show. What have we learnt this week? That you're better off just leaving it rather than getting it tightened than loosened. And that vain old ladies love a blind man. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week to find out how John lost all of his family in a card game and they're happier with their new dad. Good night.
Sarah Millican's support group was written by Sarah Millican and performed by Sarah Millican, Ruth Pratt, Simon Day, Alan Dedicote, Will Andrews, Kevin Eldon, Izzy Sutty and Malcolm Tierney. It was produced by Leanne Coop. To Sarah Millican's support group.
Good evening and welcome to Sarah Millican's support group. If you're new, welcome to the group. If you're in the show, you're in the group. If you're in the audience, you're in the group. If you're listening on the radio, you're in the group. That's right, even if you're driving, stirring something between its two goes in the microwave, or sneakily listening at work, when really you should probably be putting out those fires. Welcome. Whatever your problem, we're here to help. My problem this week has been insomnia. As a bairn, I was always a good sleeper. Too good, really. My mum still complains every year that she missed Val Doonigan's only television performance in the UK because she couldn't wake me up for long enough to feed me. As you can see, I've caught up on the eating lark. I like no alarm days. They're very rare, but mean I wake up naturally when I've had enough sleep, the way the dinosaurs would have wanted. I was going to put the way God would have wanted, but I don't really believe in God, so dinosaurs it is. I have a radio that has fancy dance settings, so I can go to sleep listening to waves and wake up listening to birds. Though if my boyfriend's over, new settings of snoring and pumping seem to override me choices. And that's one of the problems. Not the wind, I can give him a run for his money on that score. It's the snoring. He tells me the reason he snores in my face is because he loves me. There are other ways of showing that. Daffodils are a pound at the minute. He could just swill the bath out once in a while. When he snores, I usually move about in the bed a bit, so he goes into a lighter sleep, and that buys me 5 minutes to nod off. I've tried earplugs, but he rattles right through them. I bought him those strips that widen your nostrils, and he wore them till Christmas Day, when I consumed a vast amount of Sprouts, and he asked if he could leave it off that night, as he didn't want his nostrils to be any bigger than necessary. He did consider putting the strips over the holes so that he did not die of intoxication. But that's just selfish. Now, here at Support Group, it's not just me helping you out. That would be crackers. I can only help people with divorce and hunger issues. Stop crying and have a meat square. I think it's time we brought out the experts. The first is a woman who's got a degree in claptrap, and whose career advisor at school told her she'd make a great doctor's receptionist. And we all know that's not a compliment. Alan, bring her out.
She thinks sleep is for the weak. It's Marion.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Marion. How are you?
Today isn't about me.
How did you sleep? Alan said you think sleep is for the weak.
I do. I have 4 hours per night, and that's all any human brain needs.
I always thought it was 7. My rule is 10 on holiday, 9 on a day off, 8 keeps me happy, 7 is on the border, 6 I'm a cow, and 5 I'm crying.
No, good God, where did you read that?
In a medical journal.
Which medical journal?
Bella.
Oh, yes. Did they also tell you that you can clean your windows with vinegar and that you should talk to your children? Honestly, those magazines have a lot to answer for. Most of my job is just correcting what people have read in Bella. Bella readers are like sheep.
What, they follow the herd?
No, they're very loyal and thrifty.
I think it's time we brought out our other expert. You keep voting for him, possibly to keep him off the streets. Alan, bring him out.
He drives like he's tired, but he's really just a bad driver. It's Terry.
Hello, I'm Terry and I drive a cab.
Hello, Terry. How did you sleep? Are you good at sleeping? I've been having some trouble.
Oh, really? No, I'm a good sleeper. Really less than 10 hours a night. Sleep is my favourite part of the day. Well, after scratching.
10 hours, that can't be good for you.
Well, it's your fault.
How?
I bought her a CD, Let's All Sleep with Marion.
I listened to a sleep CD once.
Which one?
It was called Sleep Tight.
Do you know where that phrase comes from?
No, it didn't work anyway.
It was a term used to say goodnight to virgins.
It surprises me that it didn't work. I've used it myself when I wasn't getting my full 4 hours.
Well, I fell asleep eventually anyway, but it was nothing to do with the CD. It was rubbish.
Did you get up to the bit where she talks about the desert island?
No.
What about before that, when she describes the waterfall?
No.
Where did you get up to then?
7.
As in 10, 9, 8, 7. Yes.
Oh, maybe it did work then. I think it's time we brought out our first guest. Alan, who is it?
She's been left holding the baby, and she's only got hold of its leg. It's Jenny.
Hello, Jenny.
Hello, everyone.
So, you have killed a child. That's what my notes say.
No, not at all. The opposite, in fact.
What, you brought a child back to life?
Surely the opposite would be giving birth to a child.
But the opposite to giving birth to a child is to have a full and varied and exciting life.
What did you do last night in your full and varied and exciting life?
Had a bath and watched telly.
Very exciting.
And thought about how glad I was that I didn't have to wipe something's bum.
Oh, you're one of us.
One of who?
The cheery childless. Oh, this is going to be so much easier.
Why don't you tell us your story, Jenny?
Okay, yes. Well, I don't have children.
Barren, are you? My old mum was barren.
I'm not barren, no. Well, I don't think I am. I suppose I don't really know. I've never tried.
Sleep tight, dear.
What? Look, I just don't want kids.
No one's forcing you, dear. Are they forcing you?
No, it's not that. The problem is that I don't know what to do with kids, and I have to look after one next week. People think it comes naturally, but I haven't got the faintest idea what to do with it.
Let's ask the audience how they have best entertained a child. Oh, we've got somebody on the right on the back row there, Flower. Hello, love.
Hello.
Hello, what's your name?
This is Lois's story, but she's so traumatised, I don't think
she's traumatised?
Yeah. This is Lois sitting beside me.
Hello, Lois. Why are you traumatised, Flower?
I can't actually remember it, so...
Oh, okay.
Maybe
she's just made it up then, maybe it doesn't exist.
I wish I had made it up. I left Lois and her sister with my sister, their aunt, in a one-bedroom flat on holiday, and it rained a lot, and my sister, out of absolute desperation one day, stripped down to her underwear and did a hat and cane dance, singing pantomime to this group of 5 and 6-year-olds. And when I collected them, all they were talking about was when Auntie took her clothes off and I worried about social services.
Did you think she'd been entertaining? Did you let your sister look after them anymore?
Well, occasionally.
Because it didn't really do them any harm. She's traumatised.
It was when she came back and she said, "Mummy, should I tell her that she wears her knickers backwards because she'd never seen a thong before?"
So she thought the back part of the thong should go up there. That just sounds remarkably uncomfortable to me.
But when you're 5, you don't know, do you?
No, that's true. And when you're 5, you shouldn't really have seen a thong, should you? That's a great story. Thank you very much. Bless you. Who else have we got who has entertained a child? What's your name, love?
Rowena.
Rowena. Hello, Rowena. So, tell me the story.
Well, Louisa was given her 2 nephews to look after her sister's kids, and she thought she'd bring them to the zoo. But before she got there, she thought, just in case they got lost and separated, she'd mark a moustache on the wall so they'd all look kind of similar. So she drew a kind of moustache.
Wait, what did she... With a pen?
no. What
yeah,
did you...
with a pen, so a big kind of black pen, and she put a kind of moustache on them and then a little beard on each of them. And she put one on herself as well, because she thought that way they'd kind of look like each other, so that if they got split up at the zoo, that someone would find one of them and think, ah, yeah, they should be brought back together.
That is actually brilliant. We're all going to do that now, aren't we? Let's not split up when we're shopping round the bull ring. You put a tash on, I've already got mine.
What sort of moustache was it, though? Salvador Dali, Hitler?
More Salvador Dali, I'd say.
Ah, fair enough.
I love you. A child with a Hitler moustache. That is a brilliant story. Thank you very much for telling Louisa's story. Thank you, Rowena.
Thank you.
What brilliant audience members we have. Thank you very much for that. So, Jenny, why do you have to look after one? Can't you just get out of it?
It's my cousin's little boy, and she's totally stuck. I think she assumes that I just can't have them, rather than it being a choice.
How old is this cherub?
About that much.
It's radio, remember, pet?
Oh, okay, yeah. He's about up to the knee. I've seen pictures on Facebook, you know, to prepare, and he went up to people's knees.
What else did you glean from the photos?
That he likes to have jam smeared on his face and sometimes looks angry.
What is it that makes you not want children?
Everything. I like my life. I don't have the kind of life a baby would fit into.
What you mean is you're busy and you don't think you'd have the time. Or you're worried you wouldn't be able to afford to raise a child.
Surely they're all valid reasons, though.
Piffle. No one who ever has a child thinks they can afford one.
No one.
It's true. Well, in the case of my cousin, it is. She just did it for presents.
So if your cousin can have a baby when she can't afford it, what's stopping you?
I like my life the way it is. It's not suitable for a child. I like leaving pans of boiling water all over the place. I really like doing that. I like getting drunk and waking up on the living room floor with my bum in the air. I like furniture with sharp corners. All of my scissors are really massive. And I've cupboards full, easily open cupboards, full of bleach. Sometimes I don't put the tops back on after squirting it down the loo. And I keep it in lemonade bottles. Just for fun!
What can we do, Marion, to help Jenny cope with a day with a baby?
This is very straightforward. You can take my leaflet from the Shut Up! How to Make a Baby Shut Up range. It's called Parenting for the Childless. A hungry child is eventually a tired child.
You just give them whatever they want, because then you don't have to deal with the consequences. I thought that was why people sign up to be godparents.
She's right. I looked after a friend's child once. I gave him his first curry.
How old was he?
4. It was brilliant.
Whenever I'm nervous about something, I make lists. When I used to go on dates, I'd put a little list in my handbag of all the things I could say. You know, like conversation starters. There's loads of things you can ask a child. What's that? Pointing to anything in the room. Where's the baby? While putting your hands over his eyes and then lifting them off really quickly.
Okay, so that's 2 minutes filled. What about the rest of the day?
You have to feed him and change him. That takes up a lot of time.
Change him? What? Into different outfits?
No, you have to remove the poo.
I'm not doing that. I told her I'm just going to leave him plastered.
No. Okay, Jenny, sweetheart. Once you've changed him, washed his little bum, fed him his din-dins, got him off to sleep and done all that 3 times, the day will be over. Mm. This is the most precious time. He'll cry and giggle and be sick in your hair. You won't mind any of it.
I would totally mind. Especially if it was sickening and giggling at the same time. It would be like being back at school, being mocked by a child. And anyway, what do you know about kids? You haven't been keeping more secrets from us, have you? I'm still reeling from the pilot's licence and Gary Wilmot tattoo.
I've had some experience with children.
Revving at them while they cross a zebra crossing is not enough.
No, they're babies after living in the back of my cab. I keep in touch with the mums.
Oh, it's lovely.
How many are there?
12, as of last week. I do love it. I love it so much, sometimes I go the long way to the hospital. I sometimes drive slowly past women on the verge of dropping, wind the window down and play a song that helps bring babies out.
Bring Labour on?
Yeah, Push It by Salt and Pepper. I also have a magnet in the car.
What's the magnet for?
Well, I got it because a lady dropped her earring. It cost her another £5 to meet it till we found it. With a magnet, it takes seconds. The magnet also seems to cause waters to break. I let them break on the pavement, though. You can't charge a new mum £50 for a valet, can you?
So what advice do you have for Jenny?
Find out what his favourites are from his mum. Kids are ruled by their favourite things. I get a spreadsheet with what my 12 are into so I can buy them little things and drop them off. I charge for the journey, but not for the gift.
I think we're all a bit like babies. When I cry, I check if I'm hungry first.
You must cry a lot.
And if I'm not hungry, I check to see if I'm tired.
So that's what crying means with a baby, hungry or tired.
Or smeared.
Yeah, that one doesn't happen to me so much.
You can put him on the naughty step.
He's only little, he won't understand that.
Oh, she lives in a block of flats.
Is there a naughty lift? Another tip from one cheery childless to another. Always pretend he's an animal that you like. I have a friend who has a baby and I just pretend that she's a kitten. So whenever I'm near her, I make all the right cooing noises and scratch her belly and taunt her with a small toy fish on a stick. My mum hasn't realised what I'm doing yet. She didn't even cotton on when I bought her a furry baby girl with ears and a tail. And if I ever have to look after her, the nappy's coming off and I'll plonk her in a litter tray. So let's get some final words then, Marion.
Wake him up at 5 a.m, make him cry, and then have a peaceful afternoon.
Terry?
Let him play with his favourite things, and don't be alarmed if a cabbie turns up with a present.
Alan?
Just be yourself. This is pre-recorded.
And I think you should get out of it. Just call in sick. If not, put him in the lift. Thanks, Jenny.
Thanks, everyone. Oh, and can I ring you on the day if I can't stop him crying?
No.
Let's give her a round of applause. Our next guest is in a love and relationship.
Oh, is he here just to rub it in, then?
No, he is having a few problems.
Oh, good.
Alan, bring him out.
His love poems sound like suicide notes. It's Keith.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, cheer up, dear. We'll get you sorted.
I am cheered up.
Welcome to the show, Keith. How can we help you? What's your story, pet?
Hello, Sarah. You look lovely, by the way.
Oh, are you being sarcastic?
And that's my problem. If it was written down, that would just sound really nice, but my voice makes everything sound so...
miserable.
Sarky.
Sad.
Exactly.
This is like that Jeremy Kyle programme about the couple who met online. My girlfriend doesn't know that I'm Brummy.
I'm a very positive person. I love people. I'm always smiling on the inside. My glass is so half full, it's overflowing.
In my notes, it says that you're the personification of sunshine.
Yeah, that's on my CV.
So what sort of problems does this cause?
Well, at work it's fine because I'm a nurse.
Oh, you're a woman. Oh, I thought Keith was a bloke's name. And what with a beard and a... Sorry, love.
No, I'm a bloke. Blokes can be nurses too. Because I have this voice, I always have to deliver the bad news.
How do you do that? As a member of the medical profession, I'm quite interested.
You're not a member of the medical profession.
More like a member of the magic circle.
I have a GCSE in medicine.
Well, because of this voice, it doesn't take much. I usually just sit the people down and say, I'm terribly sorry, but you're only allowed 2 visitors at a time. Or, I know you ticked it on the dinner sheet, Mrs. Bainbridge, but the kitchen staff have run out of custard, that sort of thing.
Not deafs, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, them too. But I don't like to bring everyone down. They said they don't want me back on the children's ward because I make them all cry.
It's the beard. Kids are just scared of beards. It's a fact.
Oh, really? I could shave it off. I love kids. I'd love to be a dad someday.
No.
You're in a long-term relationship, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Sandra, the love of my life. The only woman I've never made cry.
That's brilliant. I've not met mine yet.
So she doesn't mind your voice, then?
No, Sandra's partially deaf, so she lip-reads. And when you read, I hope we're together forever, it sounds romantic and nice. But in my voice, it sounds a bit...
clingy.
Exactly.
So you're a match made in heaven, then?
Well, she's getting these new hearing aids soon. That will boost her hearing and she'll be able to use the phone and stuff. I'm worried how my voice will affect her.
She's used to you being quite romantic, though, isn't she?
Yeah, I write poems. Before I met her, I never done anything like this. But she makes me want to write poems. I come up with all this flowery language and she loves it.
Like limericks?
Sort of, only not rhyming. Shall I read you one?
Oh yes.
I had a poet in the back of my cab once. He tried to pay me with a sonnet. I imagine he died on his own.
Will you read it for me?
Oh, me? No.
Why don't we read it together?
Yes, please. This one's called Never Leave.
When I see the sunshine, I think.
Never leave.
When I see a snowdrop, I think.
Never leave.
When I see you smile, I think.
Never leave.
When I see the petals drop, I think.
Never leave. I hope you don't leave me.
Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, it really is lovely. I didn't realise I could be affected like that by a man.
There are loads of things I say to her regularly that she reads correctly, but will sound different aloud.
Like what?
You look nice today.
I've got a gift for finding the insult in the compliment. Test me, test me.
Well, what about what Keith just said? You look nice today.
What today?
That dress is nice.
As opposed to the other things I wear.
I wish you didn't have to go.
Don't. You totally just suggested that.
So you keep, at least you're not going out of her.
I just want the right meaning to come across. If I say, shall we go out today? It sounds like I don't want to. If I say, what time are you going out? It sounds like I'm counting down till she leaves, but I'm not. To celebrate Sandra's new hearing aids, I was going to propose, but that can't be the first thing she hears in this voice.
I say what you mean. I was proposed to once and it was so natural, I almost hadn't realised it had happened. But I'm divorced now, so probably not the best person to talk to. Let's ask the audience, has anybody got a funny proposal story? Oh, the little in the green top. Hello, love. What's your name, love?
Serena.
Hello, Serena. And tell me your proposal story, please.
Well, we'd spoken about it for quite a while, and we went out for dinner one night, and it was all very, very lovely, and I thought, this is it. And it didn't happen. So I went home and wasn't in a very good mood. So I decided to go for a wee, because now it's better than a good wee if you're in a bad mood. And
can I just pause a second there? Is that a commonly known thing that there's not... Have I missed that? Have I missed that? Wee's help you get out of a bad mood?
Oh, yeah.
So you went for a big wee?
Yeah, and once I'd finished, I opened the door and there he was down on one knee with the ring.
After a wee. So having a romantic meal...
Yeah, it did,
just,
obviously,
that didn't,
you know, you
do
didn't
it.
Feel it.
No, is this him here?
Yeah.
Do you want to pop him on the mic? Is that all right? Hello, love.
Hello.
What is it about weeing that makes you feel... That makes you feel dead romantic.
No, it wasn't that. I was just very, very nervous about doing it while we were out. And I didn't want everyone watching, so I thought I'd do it in the privacy of my own home.
So you were... How long have you been engaged now?
6 years. Yeah, that says something, doesn't it? Yeah, we get married next August.
Oh. You might as well not bother. I mean, really?
Don't. Have you seen her face? Don't.
I know. Sorry.
She's
bother,
been waiting
bother
a long time. She's done so many big wees on the off chance that that might have been the wee. Thank you very much, bless you, and good luck with your wedding. Let's give them a round of applause. Who else have we got who has a proposal story? Hello, what's your name, pet?
Elaine.
Hello, Elaine. And what is your proposal story?
Well, I proposed to my husband. We'd been together 19 years. And at the time, the law on pensions said if he died, I didn't get his pension. Yes, well, basically, if he died because we weren't married, I wouldn't have got anything. The children that we had would have got a bit of a pension because they were his, but...
Do you think your children would have given you any of the... or not? Is this one of them in? We've got a...
Yes.
Would you have given anything to your mum?
Maybe.
Yeah, I can see why you didn't take the risk, Pet. Yeah. That's a great story. Thank you very much, Liv. Let's give her a round of applause. Have we got any more proposal stories? Let's have a look. What's your name, love?
Rowena.
Hello, Rowena. And tell us your... is it your proposal story or...?
No, it's my one of my best friends, Elva. She met a Kiwi guy in Dublin. They moved out to Auckland together. They were there about a year. He decided he wanted to make a big proposal. So he was working in marketing at the time, did a deal with the local advertising company that he could hire a huge advertising billboard on the side of the motorway going into Auckland. And he put, Elva, will you marry me, on the billboard. and then was driving along the motorway, and of course she needed to see the billboard and she was rabbiting away. So Conrad had to kind of stop her and in the end point at the billboard. I go, oh, look.
This is so much of a surprise if you actually pulled over.
Look what I did for your pet.
So she saw it and she went, oh, that's funny, my name's Elva too.
Is she very pretty? Because she doesn't sound awfully bright.
She is, and of course she said yes, so we had a great celebration after that.
Oh, that's a great story. Thank you very much, Rowena. Let's give her a round of applause. Thank you to the lovely audience. Marion, what advice could you give to Keith?
I think actions speak louder than words in your voice.
I already know how to sign, if that's what you mean.
I mean the grand gesture.
Don't men often propose at the top of high buildings, like the Eiffel Tower and Empire State Building? Is that because there's less oxygen up there?
That's exactly why. Medically, and you can probably back me up on this, Keith, when the brain thinks it's about to die, it makes big decisions. I once decided to move to Grimsby while on the London Eye. So, Keith, what you could do is take her somewhere high up.
Like a mountain. We like walking. We enjoy the countryside and all the beauty it offers.
That's because when you're deaf, you focus on other senses.
Grope's my favourite one.
It's touch, love.
I could go up the mountain earlier and spell out my proposal in cupcakes.
Oh, you're lovely.
That's on my CV too, but thanks.
Terry, what advice do you have for Keith?
Well, I think you've forgotten you don't need to get married. I've had loads of girlfriends. I've never proposed to any of them.
Maybe that's why you had loads of them.
Yeah, I've done like being tied down. Tying down is for dogs.
And tents.
I don't see it as being tied down. I see it as being tied together.
Oh. That is really lovely.
I think that when someone makes you write poetry and see daffodils a little yellower than they are, you can link yourself together with an invisible silver string, so wherever you are, you're connected.
That's so sweet.
Hang on, how is invisible string silver?
I don't think you two have any problems at all.
I think when she hears your voice, she'll love it. It's your voice, after all.
Can I read you another poem?
Of course you can.
It's called Apples Taste Nicer. I've never really liked apples, but when we share one, they taste sweeter. So either you make things better or you're really good at picking apples.
He's really good.
Let's get final words. Marion?
Take her somewhere up high, anywhere you feel a little woozy. The best decisions are made mid-nausea.
Terry?
OK, propose to her, but keep her hanging on for a nice long engagement. I hate that.
I think you have nothing to worry about, and you've made me want to eat an apple with me boyfriend. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, everyone. If you're ever in hospital, I hope I'm the one that gets to give you the bad news.
So that's the end of this week's Sarah Millican support group. What have we learnt? That children can be occupied in lifts, that magnets bring on childbirth, and that bad news in hospital can just be about the pudding. Thanks so much for joining us. Tune in next week when we meet Greg, who really wants a girlfriend, but hasn't told his wife yet. Good night.
Sarah Millican's support group was written by Sarah Millican and performed by Sarah Millican, Ruth Bratt, Simon Day, Alan Dedicote, Bridget Christie and Joe Wilkinson. It was produced by Leanne Cooper. Welcome to Sarah Millican's support group.
Welcome to Sarah Millican's support group. We've got some new faces in tonight, so let's have a quick recap on the support group rules.
If someone is crying, they must be hugged. So if you're a bit on the bony side, step back. Those of us with the arms of a dinner lady are best suited to that sort of thing. But don't worry, when we lock ourselves out of the building, you lot will be the first to be shoved through an open window. Someone asked me this week, what is love? And yes, the temptation was to sing, baby, don't hurt me no more. But that just reminded me of being ignored in chiffon in the 90s. No wonder Hadaway was harping on about love. No one ever finds love in a nightclub. An uncomfortable hand on your boob, maybe, but not love. As a teenager, I used to like nothing more than reading My Guy Monthly with a bag of mint imperials. It was the next best thing to having a boyfriend. And I'm sure we hit this stage at the end of our lives too, when our men are dead and we can again lie on a bed, probably in sheltered accommodation, with a bag of Werther's and a Mills and Boone. I'm lucky in that the love of my life is very present. He regularly picks me up from a train station, drives me to my dentist, waits for an hour and a half while I have root canal work, takes me home and buys me a custard slice for being a good girl. That, to me, is love. And further dental problems, I'm sure. Well, here at Support Group, it isn't just me solving the problems, though I do cover the ones about which biscuits are best and which painkillers go with what. Let's bring out our other experts. Firstly, we have our resident counsellor. She's read about all of your problems in a textbook and then flicked to the back where the answers are. Alan, bring her out.
She's got a new boyfriend, but he doesn't know it yet. It's Marion.
Hello, Marion.
Hello, Sarah.
How are you?
Today isn't about me.
Today is about all of us.
Oh, you've been reading my leaflets.
Well, I could hardly miss them. You did leave them out with a note that said, these might help.
And did they?
Well, I've only read other people are just as important as you, if not more so. I'm building up to angry, sarky and crying, the working class emotions.
And the other one, I'm pretty sure I left 3 out for you.
Oh, I binned that one. Divorce, how damaged actually are you out of 10? Speaking of divorce, how are you coping? Alan said you've got a new boyfriend.
Well, I have my eye on someone.
Oh, anyone we know?
Don't be ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous that I might have met someone you'd fancy?
You don't know him. Our love paths will never cross.
Love paths?
Yes. My love path has a theatre on it and one of those second-hand bookshops where people touch things passionately but never actually buy anything. Whereas I expect yours is full of Nando's and our price.
Price. Yes, I do often meet potential suitors while browsing the casingles. I think it's time we introduced our third member of the group. He's the Phil Oakey in our Human Interest League. Alan, bring him out.
Don't you want him? Of course you do. It's Terry.
Hello, I'm Terry and I drive a cab. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Terry, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good, thanks very much. As an experiment this week, I decided just to go where anyone asked me to. I've been south of the river and everything. I've been to places you wouldn't believe. I even went to Lambeth.
Have you heard that Marion's got her eye on someone? She's positive I haven't met them.
I know who it is.
Who?
It's Colin Frith.
It's Colin Firth.
The actor.
I just saw the King's Speech and thought he was really lovely.
So you have an Audion on your love path then?
Love path, is that where you might find love?
That's exactly it. What would be on your love path, Terry?
Takeaways, maybe a brothel.
I think it's time we brought out our first guests. Alan, bring them out.
She thinks they have a problem. He can't see it. It's Laura and Barry.
Hello, Laura. Hello, Barry.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
So, Laura, according to Alan, it sounds like you think your relationship's in trouble.
We're fine.
If we were fine, we wouldn't be on the show.
I thought we were going on a mini-break.
Yeah, we have got tickets for We Will Rock You tonight.
That is a great show. It's even better than seeing Queen live, because concerts don't have a story, do they?
I thought we could do something each. You get to see a show and I get to complain about you to strangers.
Is this still about me getting the fridge and the freezer mixed up? You know, you weren't as bothered when I showed you the milk ice lollies.
No, Barry. It's about Brian.
Brian is a friend of yours, Barry.
My best friend.
No woman should ever try and get between a man and his best friend.
Even when it's a dog?
Oh. That is a bit weird.
But he's my best friend.
No, mate, your best friend is who you see once a week down a pub. But you make it like an accident. Blokes never arrange a night out.
The bar staff put water out for the dog, so he does take him to the pub.
Your best friend is your best man at your wedding.
He got the dog a tiny tuxedo made. Did a wee on my dress.
Your best friend is who you ring when you're up the creek about a paddle.
He talks to the dog for hours.
He's a very good listener.
So what exactly is the problem? That he spends too much time with the dog?
Can we at least call him by his name?
Oh, sorry, you're right. That Barry spends too much time with the dog. Let's see if our audience have had any similar experiences that could help. Have we got anybody in the audience whose partner has loved something more than them? We've got a fella there. Hello, fella. Hello, what's your name?
Connor.
Hello, Connor. Tell us your story, then.
My partner loves his privacy more than me.
His privacy?
Yes, and there's a little story behind it. He took us to New York for my birthday, just before Christmas, and it was brilliant. We had all these lovely photos and everything under the big Christmas tree and stuff.
Lovely.
And put them on Facebook, as you do, and tag them, and then go and show everybody at work.
Uh-huh.
But then
brag.
Then all the images are de-tagged. And do you know why?
Why?
So that his friend in Ohio, that's miles away from New York, wouldn't find out that he dared visit the North American continent and not stop by to say hello. And then it still didn't get resolved, and he has since left Facebook and still refuses to go back on because he says it's not right.
Can you pop them on?
Gladly.
Hello.
Hello. What's your name, love?
My name's James.
Hello, James. So, tell me, the person that you know in Ohio...
Yeah?
Is their geography any good? Are they aware how far Ohio is away from New York?
No, but I'd felt a bit bad because I'd not been to see him for a while. And then I thought, well, he might get offended. So I just got caught in a little white lie.
So what you could have done is just emailed the friend and said, I don't really think I like you anymore. I would have probably stopped off when I was in New York. Look at the picture of me and me fella under the lovely tree. So you've now left Facebook?
Yes, I've left Facebook.
When you were on Facebook, did you look at other people's photos when you were on there?
No.
Yes, you did.
I didn't.
You did. We all do. We've all spent hours looking at wedding photographs of people we don't know.
At people I used to go to school with to see if they're fatter than me. Do you look on Facebook,
yeah.
Shuri? What do you look at?
I look at people getting married. Of course I don't.
What I'm enjoying most is that for a man with problems with privacy, you've chosen to discuss this on a national radio.
Thank you very much to Connor and James. Let's give them a round of applause. So who else have we got in whose partner loves something more than them? Let's have a look. We've got a lady. Hello, Flower. What's your name?
Hello, my name's Frank.
Frank?
Yes.
It's definitely a lady, don't worry. Hello, Frank. And what is it that your partner loves more than you?
Golf. He plays it, he watches it, he spends more money on it than he does on me. But...
It's more expensive though, isn't it?
More expensive, you're right. So, is he with you tonight? Did you bring him tonight?
No, to be honest with you, I invited him and he had a golf match.
So, who else have we got whose partner loves something else more than them? What else? Let's have a look who else we've got. We've got lady at the front. Hello, lady. What's your name?
Anthea.
Hello, Anthea. Hi. So, what does your partner love more than you?
His BlackBerry.
His BlackBerry. And it's obviously the phone, not just like a tiny fruit.
No. It's not a punnet of BlackBerry.
It's not a punnet. No. Oh, isn't the word punnet great? So, is he obviously permanently on it?
Permanently on it, yeah. 24/7.
So, do you have a phone? Do you use a mobile phone?
Yeah, but we both sit in the same room and message each other.
To be honest, you're partly to blame for that, because you could just ignore him, couldn't you? Reject, yeah. Reject, reject. I'm sitting in front of you, for God's sake.
But it's generally to say, can you pass the remote control over?
So does he get important messages through the night? Is there, like, sort of, is it valid that he would have his phone on through the night?
No.
Now, when do you turn your phone off?
When I go to bed.
When you go to bed?
Oh, I leave it in the car, so I'll...
You leave it in the car?
Yeah.
Let's not give your address out.
Hang on, wait, while you're watching television, you text each other, and then, just before you go to bed, you go out and you put your BlackBerry in the car. There are many more problems in your relationship than BlackBerries.
Is he loaded?
No.
No, just get rid of those pets. Say that again.
He was before I met him.
Well, at least you got something out of it. Is there a way we can resolve this, then, do you think?
Smash it.
They do. Well, they break quite easily.
They do. You can just rub the nipple too much, and it...
Are we still talking about the black thing?
Well, women break in much the same way.
This is something you're clearly going to have to live with or get rid of him, isn't it? What are you going to do?
Next question.
That's all right, it's not Jeremy Kyle, he didn't have to answer. That's fine. Well, we all know what the pause meant anyway. I'll give him 6 months. That's what a pause means. Thank you very much for sharing your story, Anthea. Thank you very much. Can we give her a round of applause? Thank you very much, you guys. So, Marion, what do you think we can do to help Laura and Barry?
I think we need some more examples of how he sees both you and Brian. We could do the Who Does He Love More quiz from my Probably Not You leaflet.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, just anything that might help.
Okay, Barry, before we start, there's one thing you need to remember about animals and humans. We're different for a reason. If we were still monkeys, then this would be a lot more acceptable. But we straightened up and started wearing hats. Dogs can't wear hats because they don't have enough neck.
Brian has a hat.
No, tied on doesn't count.
What a brilliant way to sum up evolution.
Thank you. I did go to university, you know.
Yes, but you studied food technology.
It is all about the food chain. If we can eat it, then we're better than it. That's why the dinosaurs had to die.
That and because they couldn't wear hats.
Exactly. Now, to the test. Question one. Which between your wife and your dog have you known the longest?
Easy, Brian.
So they came as a package, Laura?
Yeah, sort of package you might need to get removed from a concourse.
Which, if either, do you watch when they're asleep?
Unfair question. Dogs are so much more entertaining when asleep. They snuffle and they move their legs around a bit.
But Laura trumps and smiles to herself. It's brilliant, actually. So Laura wins that one.
Yes! Who greets you when you get home from work?
With a big kiss.
Oh, that's nice.
Brian.
Oh.
Final question, Barry. Which one is the human?
Thank you.
Laura?
Yes, it's not a trick question, dear. You are a human and you mate with another human. Brian is a pet. He's with you because you feed him.
I've had relationships like that. I love relationships like that.
If you didn't feed him, he would leave.
Or die.
Leaflet that no one else has ever needed. It's called Where to Send Your Dog, Part 1, when it's still alive.
Barry, maybe you're just ready for kids.
What?
You don't have any kids, right?
No, we were waiting till we felt ready.
Well, maybe Barry showering his dog with love is a sign that he's ready.
Oh, that isn't it at all, really. Don't you think I'd have mentioned that as a possible answer?
Barry?
Yes, love?
You know, we talked about how we'd use the code word when we were ready for kids.
Yes.
What's the code word?
Ready.
Ready.
It's not really a code word, is it? A code would be something like beanbags.
We just thought ready was a good word to use when you, you know...
Ready, yes, we'll get it, we're not daft, but...
though it can cause confusion. Whenever Laura shouts that my dinner's ready, I panic. Though less so more recently.
Less so?
Yes, like when you did that hot pot the other day, I was disappointed.
Oh, I thought it was all right this time.
No, no. When you shouted that my dinner was ready, I only heard ready and wondered if it was time.
You thought you'd shouted my womb is ready?
Well, I thought maybe you...
Barry,
you...
I think I might be ready.
I'm ready.
Oh.
I'm so ready. I want a kid, babe. I want a big, hairy, wet-nosed kid.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes. Yes, I'm ready. He's right.
I am. Excellent. In your face, Marion.
Thank you, Terry. We owe you so much.
Nah, it's all right. Call it £8. Do you want a receipt?
Well, I think it's time for our last words. Terry?
You're welcome.
Marion?
I still think it's about us wearing hats. Have a child and put a hat on it. There.
Alan?
Just be yourself. This is pre-recorded.
My advice is to love your dog, but love your wife that little bit more. You can only laugh at your dog. You